We'll start with their prayers. Vasudevasutam devam kamsa chaduramardhanam devaki paramanandam krishnam vande jagadgurum. Today we are going to start a new volume of the notes which have already been circulated to you. This is the volume number 3. For Shankara Bhashyam. We have already finished 2 volumes, almost 500 pages of notes. The entire second chapter consists of about 2000 pages. And we are studying all these verses of the second chapter in a very big detail. We are diving very, very deep with Shankara Bhashyam. In the past, during the Vedic period, there were 1,200 schools of Vedanta. Each was teaching Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita. Today, there are hardly about 100 schools around the globe which teach Vedanta, which teach Shankara Bhashyam. Why do we study Shankara Bhashyam? Shankaracharya was a Jagat Guru, and the way he understood the Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads, we find that no other scholar exists in the current times or in the past. So, a deep study of Shankara Bhashyam helps us to understand the depth of the Bhagavad Gita. As you all know, Bhagavad Gita is the essence of Upanishads. And the only topic in all these Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita is Atma. The central topic is Atma. To know this Atma, Vyasacharya wrote 701 verses in Bhagavad Gita. There are thousands of verses in the Upanishads also teaching the same one central theme, and that is Atma. So when you come to the study of Bhagavad Gita or Upanishads, or you are at the spiritual path, You have understood that there is something called as a spiritual path in our life. Once you have understood this and you have started walking on the path, the main goal you should understand is, I should understand who am I. What is my current view about myself? And what is the Shastric view about myself? If you have this as the goal, then the teaching and the learning becomes very easy. As we go through these verses, you will slowly start understanding our mistaken notions about our real self. Our real self is not this body, it is not this mind. Right in the middle of a battlefield, the teaching was about Atma. So you can understand, when there is so much of death in the environment during a war, Lord Krishna taught Arjuna this teaching. If that was the circumstances for all of us, in whatever circumstances we may be sorrowful, we may be distressed, we may be with strain, so many things around us may be there. But there is no excuse for us to say, I will not learn about Atma. The teaching comes to all the students, then they are consistent in the study. So what is required is consistent, systematic study of Bhagavad Gita. All of you attend these sessions. You have to revise some of these sessions, make some notes, because this is a very subtle science. I call it a science because the more you dive in deep, you understand the science behind it. It is not an objective science, but it is subjective science, which is much more difficult, much more subtler than the objective world in which we do research. With this short introduction, let me straight away go to the first verse. Which we are going to take today, which is the 11th verse of the second chapter. This is an introduction to the 11th verse. So, after Arjuna surrendered to Lord Krishna and became a student, what did Lord Krishna do? Surrender to a guru is one of the qualifications necessary for a student. He must realize there is something I don't know, and there is a person who can teach me that with the help of the Shastra. The primary importance for revelation of Atma should be given to the Shastra. Shastra means either the Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, or Brahma Sutra. In the seventh verse of second chapter, Arjuna said, "I am totally confused regarding my duty. Whether I should fight the war or whether not fighting the war is my duty. Dharma." Dharma means duty. Whenever we are confused about our duties in life, the best place to go and study is the Bhagavad Gita. Especially the third chapter, fourth chapter, and the fifth chapter. They give a beautiful explanation of how we should lead our life by doing our duty. Duty to our family, duty to ourself. When Arjuna asked a solution for sorrow and grief, Lord Krishna understood the solution. He understood the solution for grief and sorrow put together is called as samsara. So when Lord understood that Atmajnanam is what Arjuna seeks, then Lord Krishna started teaching him this essence of Upanishads, which is Bhagavad Gita. When you study the Bhagavad Gita, you can study with the help of grammar, logic, or Vedanta. Vedanta means what is the central theme? Is it logic? Is it grammar? Or is there something which is called as the essence of Gita, which is Atma Tattva? Bhagavad Gita is a Dharma Shastram and also Moksha Shastra. Dharma Shastram means it teaches us how to live our life. Moksha Shastra means how to come out of the cycle of birth and death. According to Veda, we all have repeated births and deaths. One body is gone, another body comes up. Our mind, which is a subtle body, takes another body. What is the solution for this reincarnation? Again and again taking births. The study for Bhagavad Gita, the study of Atma Vidya is Moksha Shastra. Arjuna, in Lord Krishna, in the 16th verse, this verse which I have quoted here, this is the central teaching for coming out of birth and death. When we study this verse, you will understand the importance. This verse 16 is supposed to be the central verse of all the 701 verses when you want to discuss Atma Vidya. It's a very difficult verse, but with Shankaracharya's Bhashyam, once we study that, we will have some idea about who am I as Atma. So Atma, Anatma, Viveka is a very, very important topic which continues throughout our study, whether it is Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads or Brahma Sutra. A delusion which is caused by Dharma Shastra, Ajnana, ignorance of Dharma Shastra, leads to delusion. I don't know what is my duty. I don't know why I am born. What am I undergoing in my life? I only know I have some happiness and some sadness and some mixed emotions throughout my life. Here in Bhagavad Gita, we dive very deep to understand what is the cause of sorrow. And then Bhagavad Gita teaches us the cause of sorrow is your ignorance about your intrinsic nature. What is intrinsic nature? I am Atma. I am pure. I am not this body. I am not the mind which I am attached to, which has got sorrow. So, in my view, today I only know body and mind and the world. But Lord Krishna knew the problem of sorrow is Atma Ajnanam. Apashyan. I don't know my real nature. I am an eternal, existing, pure self, spiritual being. I am not a human being. I am a spiritual being. The day you can tell yourself, I am a spiritual being. I am not a human being. That is my real nature. And that is called as Atma Jnanam. So, with the intention to teach Atma Jnanam, Lord Krishna teaches Bhagavad Gita. Panditaha. Panditaha means person who knows Atma Jnanam, a wise man. With this introduction of Shankaracharya to the 11th verse. Now we will enter the 11th verse of Bhagavad Gita, the starting point of Shankaracharya's teaching. Till the 10th verse of the second chapter, and the 43 or 47 verses of 47 verses of the first chapter. So 47 plus 10, 57 verses, Shankaracharya doesn't write a detailed commentary. Last week and the week before that, we started the 10th verse. We saw a little bit of commentary of Shankaracharya. Now the real teaching of Lord Krishna is from the 11th verse. The section from the 12th verse till the 25th verse or even up to 30th verse. Shankaracharya says from the 12th verse till the 30th verse is the central teaching of the entire 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. So that is why I thought of taking meditation sessions. Last week, many people called me also, and during the session also, they said they would like to have meditation. So I will conduct a few sessions and see if there is more interest, then I will continue with the meditation. So we will stop the class after 1 hour and 15 minutes. The last 15 minutes, we will have meditation. For those who want to meditate, you can join. For those who are not interested in meditation, there's no harm. I mean, it's not compulsory. And then after 1.5 hours, for 15 minutes, we'll have Q&A. Now let us play the 11th verse.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Ashochyanan Vashochastvam Ashochyanan Vashochastvam Prajñāvādāṃśca bhāṣase Prajñāvādāṃśca bhāṣase Gatāsūna gatāsūṃśca Gatāsūna gatāsūṃśca Nānuśocanti paṇḍitāḥ Nānuśocanti paṇḍitāḥ.
So in this verse, Lord Krishna says, O Arjuna, you are grieving about death of people, of Bhishma, Drona, and other people in the battleground. At the same time, you are saying, I am a wise person. I know Dharma Shastra very well. I want to withdraw because I don't want to kill people. Then Lord Krishna says, wise people will never grieve over death. But you are grieving. What will happen to them? So there is a confusion in Arjuna's mind which Lord Krishna brings out in this verse number 11. What is the main confusion? Dharma, adharma, confusion, conflict. What you need, Arjuna, is not Dharma Shastram, but what you need is Upanishadic Shastra. Dharma Shastram, Arjuna knew very well because he has been following Dharma all his life. So he knows, Lord Krishna understands that he knows Dharma. But what he is ignorant about is Atma, which is the real self, which is Nityaha, which is eternal. Nitya Atma, if you know, then you will not grieve about death. Death is a passing phase. It is something which everybody has to go through. It goes through, I mean, it is a law of life. In this juncture, Lord Krishna knew very well that Arjuna has surrendered to him. So whatever is good for me, Arjuna said, you tell me. Yatu Shreyascha Nishchitam. What is good for me, you tell me. In Kathopanishad, there are two paths in life. Shreyas and Preyas. Shreyas means it is the right path which will lead to moksha. Preyas means it is a path which normally everybody would like to go through. Preyas means pleasing your sense organs. Shreyas means remaining quiet, understanding I am Atma. These are the two words used in the Kathopanishad. So here what is Arjuna asking is Shreyas. And we have seen Anubandha Chatushtayam before. The Vishaya of this Bhagavad Gita is Atma Jnanam, and it gives the benefit of moksha. A student who has understood that material life does not give me fulfillment in life. Earning more and more money, having children, having a grihastha life, and going through samsara will not give me fulfillment. So he is the adhikari. He is a right student. And then he understands the relationship of studying Bhagavad Gita and removal of sorrow in his mind. That is called as sambandha. So shoka and moha are the two expressed problems of Arjuna. Together it is called as samsara. This is the gist of the verse. Now let us see the commentary from topic number 70 to 76. Shankaracharya's Bhashyam on this 11th verse. Shankaracharya quotes Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 351, and basically he is talking about confusion in Arjuna's mind. The first two lines of the Bhashyam discusses three levels of worry. This is very, very deep understanding about our nature. It's extremely important for us to understand this. We can be worried about our body, which is born, but it has to die. It is a fact of life. That is one type of worry. The second worry is about chidabhasa. Try to understand these technical terms slowly. You will understand this better and better when we study the whole Bhagavad Gita. The nature of chit and the nature of chidabhasa. Chit means what? Chit means Atma. The entire Jnana Kanda, the Vedanta portion, deals with Chit, the Atma. Chit means Chaitanyam, consciousness, which is eternal and all-pervading. That is Chit, Atma. Shariram is body. In between these two, there is something called as Chit Abhasa. Many people don't understand the meaning of this chid abhasa. Try to follow this correctly right now so that Even in future, whenever we are using Chidabhasa, you are very, very clear in your mind. Chit is eternal. It always exists. It is consciousness. It is not the body. It is not the mind. The Shariram is always inert. It is born of the five elements. It is Prakriti. It is born. It goes through life. It dies. In between, there is something called as Jivaha. Now, Jiva, once we say, the Jiva means there is an indweller in this body right now. And this indweller is a mixture of chit and mixture of matter, which is mind. So, who is Jiva? Jiva is not the external body. Body is only a dress. Jiva today thinks he is Chit Abhasa. Chit Abhasa means it is a reflection of that consciousness in the mind which is dwelling in this body. It is this mixture of mind plus reflected consciousness which is the hero in the body. Without this hero, body is useless. Without this hero, the chit is also meaningless. It is there, okay, so what? But the chit abhasa, the reflected consciousness with the body, with the mind, especially the mind. What is the mind? It is sukshma sharira. Subtle body. Now this mixture is an indweller. It resides in this body. It then says, I am doing action. I am karta bhokta. For every karma, for every action, there is always a result of action. That is the law of this world. You do something, there will be some result. You do good today, tomorrow somebody will help you. That is one feature of Chidabhasa. The second feature of Chidabhasa is this Chidabhasa, reflected consciousness, with the mind travels after the death of the current body. That is why we have Shraddham, Tarpanam, some prayers for the people who have died, so that the soul, in English we generally call this as a soul. So that the Chidabhasa or the Jiva, a traveling Jiva, finds a new body. Till the time it finds a new body, whatever prayers which we do will help the soul to find the right place and then seek another life. The entire Karma Kanda, the big portion, voluminous portion, deals with this Chidabhasa only. Chidabhasa is also called as Ahamkara, the ego. What is the ego? Ego is the identity of the indweller with the gross body, with the subtle body, and with the causal body. This indweller identifies with the physical body during the waking state. And then it undergoes experiences. Then it goes to the dream state. And then through the mind alone, it experiences another world. Same indweller, the Jiva. Then when both these waking experiences and dream experiences, the Jiva is tired of, he drops the mind and then he goes to sleep. In the sleep, what happens? The reflected consciousness goes back to the original consciousness. Therefore, he is happy. The mind goes to its potential condition, which is the Karana Avastha, Karana Sharira. See, now you can understand why I insist that Tathobodha is so important. In Tathobodha, we learn all this about gross body, subtle body, causal body. Now you are getting to the details of the causal body, which is a mystery for people who have studied for 25 years Vedanta. They still are not able to understand this causal body. So what happens in the sleep state? I'm very happy. The reflected consciousness has gone to and merged with the chit. But I don't know this fact. This fact is taught in Chandogya Upanishad in the sixth chapter, eighth section. That is why the knowledge of Upanishads is very important. So all people, they do not deserve grief because they are Atma. Every day they experience their real self. They experience their real nature in sleep as pure consciousness. This is what Bhagavad Gita teaches us. Lord Krishna wants to teach about the chit, which is Nityaha, eternal. In the 27th verse of the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Jatasi Dhruvo Mrityuhu Dhruvam Janma Mrityuscha Tasmad Pariharate Natvam Shocheti Marhasi. Certain is death for the one who is born. Suppose you think I am the body, for you there will be death. Suppose you think I am not the jiva with this gross body, I am the jiva which is identical with chit, which is awareness, which is consciousness, which is eternal, which is what I experience every day. But without any body, without any word, I am that. That is my swarupa. So in this 27th verse, Lord Krishna teaches Arjuna that if you are chit, ultimately if you know you are chit, you should not grieve. In that verse, Shankaracharya says, you should not even grieve if you are the gross body. Why? Because the gross body, it's a fact of life. You cannot worry over some fact of life. Second, one way of looking at the body. Second way of looking at yourself is, I am the Chidabhasa with the mind. Again, there you don't have to worry because you will take another body. That is also a fact. Chidabhasa will travel. And the third fact is that Chidabhasa realizes I am not the one attached to the mind. I am the one which is attached to the original consciousness, which is Atma. So over the inevitable fact, you cannot worry. What a beautiful commentary Shankaracharya gives. And in this Bhagavad Gita portion, many people are anxious about death. One of the reasons people who come to study the Bhagavad Gita, they find tremendous ability to face death in their surroundings and in their family. And if you are able to understand that you are Atma by a complete study of Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads, you are a wise person. So body is subject to birth and death, it's a fact. You can't worry about it. Ahamkara Chidabhasa survives and travels and takes another body. Therefore, again, it's a fact known in the Gita. Therefore, you don't have to worry. No doubt, Bhishma and Drona are persons of good conduct. They are dharmic souls, no doubt. But they might get a better loka after the war. Then they leave this body because they have fought for some reason, and they might get a better body. So again, you don't have to worry. From the chit angle, why do you have to worry? The Atma has no destruction. That is what is said in the 24th verse of the second chapter. So, from three drishtis, from Sharira drishti, Chidabhasa drishti, and Chit drishti, no worry should be there in your mind. All of us, when we study the Bhashyam, also have to understand and internalize this fact. In your spare time, you should say, body will come and go. Therefore, I don't have to worry about death. Then, the indweller today, yes. Who is the karta, bhokta, who is the doer of actions? He will get his phalam. That is, he is exhausting his prarabdha karma. That is also a fact of life. And after this body, we will take another body. So this is a cycle in nature. The reflected consciousness comes into the jiva's mind during the srishti itself, when the creation is started. And during pralayam, what happens is when the srishti is no more, when the creation is no more, that chidabhasa takes on in the next srishti, it will come back again. That is the law. And what is another fact? There is one chit, which is Atma, which never comes and takes a body at all. It is in the presence of that Atma, the creation goes on. That Atma is the goal of all the students who study Bhagavad Gita. So, Ashochyan Anyashochaswam. You don't have to worry over the death of anybody. Then there could be some guilt factor in Arjuna. I am the cause of their death. So here what happens? Here Lord Krishna teaches him that I, which you are referring to, is the body. It is not the Atma, because Atma is Akarta. So again, you have to correct your vision that you are not the killer of the body. It is Prakriti which is undergoing the cycle of birth and death of Shariras. Because in the first chapter, if you remember, we had done this verse, the 32nd verse, where Arjuna said, "What will I do with this victory in the battlefield? I will not have any pleasures in life after winning the battle. Why? Because the people with whom I am fighting, they are the people whom I want after my battlefield." So guilt is there in Arjuna's mind. And he has got emptiness in his life. What will I do? These are the two problems of people who are suffering a great amount of sorrow. Whenever somebody suffers from sorrow, you must understand that he or she is feeling emptiness in life. Emptiness means, what is the use of life? You know, that type of feeling. So it is a pathetic condition which Lord Krishna understood. So words from Arjuna showed that he was having this misconception that body is me and others' body is also, they are also bodies, they are also gross bodies. But at the same time, he thinks that he is wise. Why? Because he says, no, I will not fight. He thinks he is wise because he feels that by not fighting, he is wise. So there is ignorance and foolishness. There is ignorance of Atma, and foolishness means trying to understand adharma as dharma. At the same time, a person feels, see, many a times you will find a person who is confused, he also thinks that he is wise. Unless and until you try to tell him that you are ignorant about something. But till that time, they feel that they are panditas. They feel that ego in them makes them feel that whatever I'm thinking is right. Here, Lord Krishna calls Arjuna unmattaha. You are foolish to think like this. Normal people will not show opposite attributes. On one side, you say you think that you are great. On the other side, you feel foolish also. So according to wise people, nobody deserves grief in life. I'm sure all of you understand the three identifications. All the three does not need you to feel the grief if death happens in your surroundings. This fact needs to be internalized. See, one thing you should know, that I will definitely miss the people with whom I have lived for 70 years, 80 years, and so on. I will miss them. But then missing them in my relationships, I can't talk to them, I can't be with them, I cannot have a cup of coffee with them. Those are all things which makes you understand the futility of life. What is life all about? It makes you think that whether all this which I am undergoing in my day-to-day world, worrying about so many things in the world, does it really make sense? No. Because what is a fact you cannot change? And there are so many uncontrollable factors. So confusion regarding life is the primary reason why people come to Bhagavad Gita. And one of the biggest confusions in life is about death. When you go through this section, from the 12th verse till the 30th verse, it is an excellent teaching to understand the death phenomenon. Even now itself, in this session itself, you have understood. Death of the body is inevitable. It is a fact of life. There is no need to worry. There is no need to feel. Yes, you can feel some loss of life, relationships, and so on for 2-3 days, and then carry on with the life. If you are worried about the soul which has departed, definitely that soul will take another body. That is the law of life, law of karma. And suppose you know that person has been a jnani in this life. He knows that he is Atma. He is Chit. And he, before death itself, he knew, I am Chit, I am always eternal. And he has learned the Bhagavad Gita. He knows, that's it. He has never understood the real life to be the life in this world, but his real intrinsic life is Atma. Then also you don't have to worry. Gataso means dead people. So, you don't have to worry about people who are dying or the dead people. Because you are now becoming wise with the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Atma Ajnanam is the cause of worry. Ignorance about the Atma, which is Nityaha, which is always there, is the primary reason for sorrow in life. Any type of sorrow. You didn't get a job. Why worry? You are Atma by nature. You are undergoing some life in this body. That's all. But don't worry about it. Okay, let's get another job. I didn't get married to a person, that person. Okay, doesn't matter. Go on, carry on. So when you study the Bhagavad Gita, you will find that this knowledge of Atma helps you in every situation which you face in life. There, sorrow is possible. You will say, no, no, I don't have to worry about it because things as per law of karma will happen. Let them happen. I will face it. So you get a shock absorber. You can go back to that Atma Jnanam, which you are learning from the 12th verse onwards. A scholar is a person who has understood the Dharma Shastra well, and a person who has understood Atma Jnanam along with Dharma Shastra, he is the one who is called as Panditaha. Panditaha has got two meanings. One who knows Atma Jnanam, and the other meaning is he is a scholar in Dharma Shastra. Dharma Shastra teaches us how to lead a good life in the world. So I have the support of Shruti, that means Bhagavad Gita, and I have the support of logic. Therefore, I don't worry at all. Self-knowledge gives me the confidence to face life at any time, doing your duty. Do your duty at all times. At the same time, be spiritually wise. Spiritually wise means I know Atma. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad in 3.5.1 gives a beautiful description of Atma. What does it say in short? It says, what is within us all the time, unchangingly, without being affected by hunger and thirst, without being affected by grief and delusion, without being affected by decay and death of the body. Six factors are taken in this. Number one, hunger and thirst, which belongs to the gross body. Atma is not at all affected by hunger and thirst. But you will say, I feel hungry. That is the reflected consciousness, the ego. Body has got a reflected consciousness that has got hunger and thirst, grief and delusion. It is that reflected consciousness which is undergoing grief and delusion. Decay and death is for the physical body again. So whoever who knows this Atma, which is free from six factors, is a Panditaha. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 3.5.1. See how you can study Upanishads together with Bhagavad Gita, it gives you a stronger foundation. Same idea, what we are learning now, Shankaracharya brings out what? That verse from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. That is what is the beauty of studying Bhashya. So when you study the verses, what will happen? Your understanding becomes much more stronger. And this jnanam is something which you can hold on throughout your life. The physics jnanam and the mathematics jnanam and the history jnanam and the geography jnanam you have forgotten in school, and that's okay. But atma jnanam stays with you till the end of your life. I am Atma, I am Atma, I am Nityaha, I am eternal, I am not affected by time, I am not affected by hunger, thirst, grief, delusion, joy, loss, gain, decay, death. I am not affected by it all. I am the pure Atma of awareness, consciousness. So a jnani is supposed to be a real Brahmana. Brahmana means a person who knows Atma Jnanam, Guna Brahmana. He is a jnani. What about others? They may say they are Brahmanas, but they are not wise. So the central teaching of this 11th verse is, you are wise if you have Atma Jnanam. Atma is not affected. It is different than all the three bodies, which is what we are going to meditate today. In Chandogya Upanishad, again, another beautiful quotation, Narada goes to his guru, Sanat Kumara, and tells the guru, I have learnt a lot of things in life. But the sorrow in my mind has not gone. That is in the 7th chapter, 1st section, 3rd verse. In the fourth verse of the same continuation, he says, I know Rig Veda, I know Yajur Veda, I know Sama Veda, I know Atharvana Veda, I know the Puranas, I know all the grammar, I know mathematics, I know this underground geology, I know astrology, I have the Vedic knowledge, the science of Panchabhutas, archery, astronomy, knowledge about the snakes, music, dance, fine arts. He's got a PhD in about 21 topics. But still he says, there is some sorrow in my life. That sorrow has not gone. Why? Because he has come to a guru to learn Atma Vidya. In Chandogya Upanishad, it is called as Bhuma Vidya in the 7th chapter. The guru teaches him, you come here, I will teach you Atma. Who you are. Finally, who you are. It's very simple. Don't worry. You have to learn. Don't worry if you can't learn 700 verses. I will teach you 25 verses. These 20-25 verses I teach you in the 2nd chapter will be free, will make you free for the rest of your life. But pay attention. In Mundaka Upanishad, it says, the one who knows this Brahman or this Atma, he will never be born again. He has crossed sin, all his sin, all his papams are destroyed here and now. And he becomes immortal. See, all these quotations I'm giving is only to show that there is a connection between Atma Jnanam and sorrow in life. Unless and until you realize the fact that I am sorrowful because I don't know who I am, till then you will be in samsara. Many people are there. See, very few people come to Bhagavad Gita learning. Very few. Again, it also depends on their prarabdha karma. Some people, they come in because they have an inclination. That is because of purva karmas. So Gita's teaching is what? Sharira drishti, no sorrow or grief. Ahankara drishti, there is no sorrow or grief. Atma drishti, there is no sorrow or grief. But what is this Atma? In Kathopanishad, it says anyatra dharmat, anyatra dharma. It is other than dharma and adharma. It is other than cause and effect. It is other than past and future. It is timeless. That is what Yamadharmaraja teaches the student Nachiket. So Bhishma is Nitya Atma. He is not the Shariram. He is not the Chidabhasa, the Ahamkara, which says he is fighting the war. From the Atma standoff point of view, there is no death at all. You are Nitya Atma, Bhishma is Nitya Atma, Drona is Nitya Atma, nobody is Chidabhasa or the physical Sharir. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, Arjuna, you don't have to grieve over the death of Bhishma and Drona. What you require is Atma Vidya. You are confused about the three states. That means the gross body, Chidabhasa, and Chit. So I will teach you Atmajnanam from the 12th verse, which will make you free from sorrow, not only in this life, but you will be a free person throughout your life, which is called as Jivan Mukti. Next, we come to the 12th verse. Here, again, Lord Krishna continues the topic of death and grief. You can look at it from Sharira Drishti, Ahamkara Drishti, Atma Drishti. Atma Drishti means Jnana Kandam, Vedanta portion. Ahamkara Drishti means Karma Kandam, which is the Veda Purva portion. Laukika Drishti, everybody does, which you already have. Sharira Drishti, which I don't have to teach you. But here in Bhagavad Gita, I am going to talk about Paramarthika Atma Drishti, which is the ultimate nature, which is your intrinsic nature. All of us. You see, when Lord Krishna teaches Arjuna, it means he teaches us also. So when we go through these verses, you should say, Lord Krishna is teaching me about my Swarupa. And then whatever he teaches, you take it, analyze it, and then try to realize whatever Lord Krishna is teaching us. So from the 12th verse onwards, whenever we talk about Atma, you should tell in your own mind, you should say, oh, this is my nature. It is not Atma which is somewhere lying. It is not Lord Krishna's Atma. It is not Arjuna who lived long, long ago, 2,000, 3,000 years ago. He's not talking about that Atma. He's talking about the Atma which is here in this body right now here. From the Vedantic angle, the Chidabhasa perishes only during Videha Mukti. At the end of the Srishti. Till that time, the Chidabhasa remains dormant. Even after you know that you are the Chit, the Chidabhasa, which is attached to the Karana Shariram, it continues. That is what the Veda says. How do you say Atma is Nityaha? That is the topic which we are studying from verse number 12 to 25. You can't kill the Nitya Bhishma. Shariram and Chidabhasa are both Anitya. They are temporary. It is there for a few years, 100 years, according to infinity. What is 100 years? Nothing. When you know Atma is infinite, infinite means timeless. Do you want to be a timeless Atma or you want to live with the body for a few years? No, I'm interested in a pure timeless Nitya Atma. I will introduce the 12th verse and then we will continue next week. I will spend a few minutes on this, but next week we'll see the depth of this verse. Let's hear Vijaya chanting this verse first.
Natvevaham jatu nasam. Natvevaham jatu nasam. Natvam neme janadhipaha. Natvam neme janadhipaha. Nachaiva na bhavishyamaha. Nachaiva na bhavishyamaha. Sarve vayamatah param. Sarve vayamatah param.
Okay. Now here in this verse, Lord Krishna starts the teaching about Atma. What does he say in this verse? In this verse, he says that Atma is Nityaha. At no time we are not. In the past we are Atma, in the present we are Atma, in the future we are Atma. Very, very important verse for those people who are understanding who they are. Very important. This verse has to be meditated upon so that it goes deep within yourself and you understand Nitya Atma Tattva. Because of this knowledge only about Atma, which you don't know, you are suffering sorrow in life. All of us have to test this out. First of all, you should know what is Atma. After the 30th verse, you will have questions. After the 30th verse, you should not have any questions about Atma. And then you ask the question, is there anything in life I have to be worried about? After having understood from 12 to 30, there is nothing in the world which should cause sorrow to me. Don't forget these three drishtis: Deha Drishti, Chidabhasa Drishti, Chit Drishti. If you don't understand any of this, you please ask in the chat box. I will try to explain again because this is an extremely important topic. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, the verses from 12 to 30, you must understand because that is the goal of our study. After that, Lord Krishna will teach Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga, and then there will be a question and answer from the third chapter till the 18th chapter. There will be only question and answer, which Lord Krishna will answer. But the main lesson of the entire Bhagavad Gita is in the second chapter. And in the second chapter, Deha Drishti, Chidabhasa Drishti, Chit Drishti. Chidabhasa Drishti means waker, dreamer, sleeper. I'm worried in the waking state. I'm worried in the dream state. I get wild dreams. I don't know what I should do about it. Forget about it. It comes and goes. Many people come to the classes and also are too much worried. Every time I tell them, no, this is it. This is the teaching. See, what I'm teaching is nothing but Chidabhasa Drishti. It is Chidabhasa. You had something yesterday. And then, or in the previous words. But Let it come, let it go. That is the solution for our problems. Body's nature is to go through the Shad Vikaras. Shad Vikara, all of you know. Tathobodha teaches us that. Body exists, body grows, body stabilizes, then it has got disease, degeneration, death. But that is the nature of the body. We have seen this verse before, 27th verse. Jatasi Dhruvabhutra. Then another beautiful verse comes in the 14th verse, which we will study very soon. Within after 2 weeks, we will study this verse. Matra Asparsha Astu Kaunteya. So this verse teaches us the contact of the sense organs with the sense objects, whenever they are, you will have Sukham and Dukkha. Don't complain. It is the nature of the Prakriti. There are three gunas in the body. There are three gunas outside, Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. They are interacting, and then you are an observer. Endure them bravely. Danti Dikshasva Bharata. Very beautiful mantra. We'll see when it comes. So the reasons given here, Deha Drishti, Chidabhasa Drishti is the repetition here. What are the factors which Lord Krishna gives in this section? Number one, Atma is Nityaha. Nityaha means eternally it exists, changelessly. Second is Nirvikara. Nirvikara means it does not modify. Like the thoughts. Our thoughts keep on modifying. Our body keeps on modifying. Old age, young age, youth, modification. So body modifies, thoughts modify. Along with that, what else is there in this body? Atma is there. But that Atma is pure consciousness, awareness. It is Nirvikara, changeless. Satyaha. Satyaha means it is always there. Pure existence. Without the body, without the mind, I am the pure existence. I exist independently. I here means what? Atma. I am consciousness. I am awareness, I exist without the body and mind, that is my real nature. Ajaha, ajaha means unborn. Atma is not born. Body has got birth and death. Body is a product of panchabhutas. Any product is born and it is gone. It is existent for a short time and then again it goes away. Lord Krishna is talking about is pure existence, which is always there. In technical Tarka language, what we say is Prag Abhava Pratiyogi, Pradvamsa Abhava Pratiyogi. These are technical terms, don't worry. What it means is it doesn't have prior non-existence and posterior non-existence. That means Atma continues after the death of the body. Atma is there before the birth of the body. Bodies are temporary. Body is not Nityaha. Atma doesn't have birth or death. This is the gist of verse number 12. So if Atma is you, the final intrinsic nature, then who is killing whom? You do not kill the other person's Atma. You are not the killer. That message will come in after 3-4 verses. You are not the karta, you are not the bhokta. So nothing is happening in the battlefield, don't worry. It is just something which is there. like a dream. You just take it like a dream and go and do your duty. That's all. That's what he says in this verse. Shankaracharya writes this commentary here, talking about Atma's existence all the time. So what is the gist of verse number 12? Nityaha. Why Nityaha? Because it is not born. And because it doesn't die. How do I know this exists? Only through the Bhagavad Gita. I was non-existent in the past is not true. Means what? Double negative language is used. I was always existence. So the gist is, like the body is taken up, like we put on a dress. This verse comes in the 22nd verse of the second chapter. It says that the bodies we take on, like we take a dress. The chirabhasa with the mind, it takes another body. Even the bodies of animals, they take the bodies again for a certain reason, as per the prarabdha karma. I am not the shariram, I am the chaitanya atma. Therefore, atma does not have prior or posterior non-existence. I am dehi, dehi atma. Dehi means indweller. Deha means body, shariram. So plants, animals, humans, all jivas, as long as you are a jiva, you are existent all the time. Bodies have got death, bodies will take another birth. So the entire teaching of the 12th verse is talking about Nitya Atma, which is ever existent. And knowing this Atma as my real nature, I will be understanding my immortal nature. What about a feature? Another feature which is given later is this Atma is self-evident. You don't require anything else to prove itself because you are that. I am always existent is the message conveyed in this 12th verse. And from Sharira Drishtya, it is Anityam. Atma drishtya, it is nityaha. Vachyartha and lakshyartha. Vachyartha means direct meaning. Lakshyartha means indirect meaning. Vachyartha means direct meaning is I am the body. But lakshyartha means indirect meaning, which is the Atma. So we'll stop here. And we'll continue from the 82nd topic next week. I'll close the study of Bhagavad Gita here. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.